Hello, this is Julie, Professor of Chinese Studies at University of Helsinki. In today's Helsinki China podcast, I have Mr. Mikko Puistinen with me. He is the advisor for the Finnish Ministry of Economic Affairs and Employment. At the same time, he's the current chair of the Finland China Society. So Mikko, I wonder if you can share with us about your journey from being an East Asian studies student decades ago and now have developed your career and working for the Finnish government.
Thank you, Julie, for the kind invitation. And it's my pleasure to be invited by the University of Helsinki and my alma mater. I graduated there from there actually in 2000. So it's over 20 years from that point of time. But yes, maybe shortly about the in a way the journey. And actually it started from the University of Helsinki in 1993 with the East Asian studies as my major, as mentioned. So actually before that I didn't have any special relationship with China or even Asia. Maybe I had read, few more books or something than the average Finn. But other than that, I was basically starting from scratch, including the language. So, and to be honest, at that moment, I wasn't so sure where this journey would take me. Maybe there on the background, there was still, in general level, biggest interest was in foreign languages, in foreign societies, humanities, social sciences, and politics, international politics especially. So from that point of view, I was very happy to be, to get that opportunity to study at the University of Helsinki East Asian Studies. And at that time, by the way, on top of the main sort of main language, which for me was Chinese, so the students had to choose a second language, East Asian language, which practically meant for me either Korean or Japanese, and I picked up Korean. I thought it was easier. We had to study 2 years for that, and that's also. politics, international politics was something that I was very interested in. So I, during my studies from 1993 to 2000, so also I took the political sciences, especially international politics as my minor. And I did an extensive, amount of courses on that one. So that's basically, that's my academic, where the first education, on one hand on China studies, language, culture, the society, and then on the other hand, the political sciences. So that was sort of my method or how I look at China. During my studies, we studied there for 3 years, and after 3 years, our teacher, Wang Laoshi, so she said that you have been good students, but to be honest, if you really want to learn this language, you have to go to China. So after 3 years of studies in the university, so me and also there was a bunch of other students, we went to Beijing Language and Culture University or Beiyu. For 1 year of studies. Actually, we took the same flight with our teacher who was just returning to China. She was just ended her assignment in the university. So we took the same Finnair flight to Beijing with her, which was I think was sort of an interesting thing. And but there during that 1 year, so certainly I was able to get my Chinese skills on a higher level, and And after I came back, I continued my studies in the university. And then actually that in 1998, around that time, so University of Helsinki, they opened up the exchanges with the Fudan University in Shanghai. So me and Rais Asikan, we were the first students from the University of Helsinki to take on that exchange to go for Fudan for 1 year. And it was in the end of my studies. And after when I came back, I finished some of the last courses and wrote my thesis for that. So I graduated in 2000. Firstly, I went just, you know, there was a fair amount of, let's say, there have been expenses during those years, and didn't have any actually scholarship for the Beijing, you know, year. So I just ended up going to work, which wasn't related, directly related to China issues. For 1 year, actually, something, you know, Nokia-related work here. But then I have to say, this is one thing, of course, there are things that you can plan, and then you might get lucky also. So in the end of 2000, I saw this ad on Helsingin Sanomat newspaper, and the Embassy of Finland in Beijing, or the foreign ministry, was looking for a sinologist to the Embassy of Finland in Beijing. Annikki Arponen, who had been there for a long time, a very experienced diplomat, also China expert. So she returned to Helsinki, and I applied for that position, and luckily I was chosen for that one in 2001.
So interesting. How long did you work for the embassy? Were there also other career options at that time?
That was maybe a 2-year contract. So that, you know, that position hasn't been, it's sort of like, you know, a fixed term thing. But actually that trip took 7 years. So I went there firstly for two, but then it was extended all the way 2008. And so 7 years there as a diplomat and responsible for reporting about the Chinese, the politics, economics, the society. Finland had and still has judicial cooperation with China. I was responsible for giving support for that cooperation. Also, I had, press and culture affairs. Actually, there was, different choices. I could have been taken a step to go for the private sector. There was some interest from some businesses, considerations about foreign ministry. But then I actually sort of like chose something in between that, and that was the Shanghai World Expo project. There's this World Expo's help. So there, is it the big ones, I guess, every 5 years. So Shanghai was about to host one in 2010. And Finland, actually, FinPro, or the predecessor for Business Finland, which is helping Finnish companies to become international. So they tried to find people for this project for Finland, for the Shanghai World Expo. So I, 2008, I jumped on that train, which was interesting because, we had during 6 months, for example, during the expo, we had like more people visiting our pavilion in Shanghai than the whole population of Finland. So there was like some 5.7 million people. After that short time as a, private entrepreneur, as a consultant, but quite shortly, there was, another new position opened at the Embassy of Finland in Beijing for a person just specializing in communications and culture. And I was, in a way, asked if I would be interested, among others. And I said, well, why not? I had been pushing myself for that direction that Finland should have person or persons there to do more for communications and culture, build the image of Finland there in China. And, you know, and that took for another 5 years in the embassy. So firstly, 7 years there. Then I was like, let me see, 3 years away. And I came back in another 5 years at the embassy in Beijing. Actually, during those years, the Chinese social media was in a way, you know, created or some started because I went there 2011. Things like WeChat, Weibo, and WeChat were just starting up, build the Weibo, you know, platform for the embassy, and later on, quite soon, the WeChat and others, and so those. So that was interesting too. 2016 back to Helsinki, Finland with my family from 2016 to 19 as a private consultant in a private entrepreneur offering services for businesses and other organizations. And then 2 years ago, the Ministry of Economic Affairs and the Employment established this China position in the unit for EU and international affairs. So on top of the foreign ministry, so China-related affairs are expanding to more and more also to the field of other ministries in Finland. So it's not just about the general diplomatic affairs or you know, the foreign policy and so on and so forth. It's more and more about the economy in a deeper and wider sense, Chinese investments to Finland and so on and so forth. Also other you know, relating to other ministries like the Ministry of Transport and Communications. So as part of that, the Ministry of Economic Affairs and Employment, they established this China-specific position. And that's how the last 2 years have been going on for me.
If we just look back at the journey that you have gone through, do you have any good advice for our students who are doing Asian studies or Chinese studies at this moment?
Starting on 1993, have been able to find something, let's say, meaningful from the professional point of view in China-related affairs. That's almost 30 years ago. So I'm pretty sure that you or anybody else in Finland who is interested in trying to sort of like build up a career around China in some ways, I think it makes even much more sense now than 1993. So that's I think it's in a way important. And you know, I don't know if I was so smart about it 30 years ago, but in a way it's quite understandable. So let's go back to the 2000 when I was applying for the assignment in the Embassy of Finland. So what they saw from my CV, even though I didn't have too much of working experience, they could see that I was not just able to speak Chinese and know about China as such. I had also some understanding about international relations in general and politics, which is of course very important if you are, you know, the foreign ministry and so on and so forth. So that's one thing, you know, the CV and the contents of it can't be too narrow. And of course, what are those minor subjects? What are the other competencies around that China thing you have there in the core? That's, you know, it depends on what you want to do with your life or what kind of career or what kind of work do you want to do? Also, I think what is important already during the studies is starting to gather information and building networks that are consistent with the aim that you have, that I talked about professionally. So don't think that the different organizations, whether they're government or business or other, they are come to look for you. You know, you have to approach them somehow. Since there are not so many China-specific tasks or positions in the government, try to gather that information about different, you know, organizations that are China related that you are interested in, and also even try to approach them somehow, build in a way the network. And by the way, I'm saying this also because I didn't do these things too well myself. Maybe I got lucky and so on and so forth. But, you know, one positive thing is, I think, is that there seems to be maybe more need for China professional on a wider scale in Finland than before. I think there is this, you know, the feeling in different, once in a while I talk about organizations, but it's like, you know, whether it's governmental organizations, businesses, academic organizations, we have just talked about this these days, you know, also with Julie and others, about the China know-how in Finland. So there's the feeling in different entities that we need to have more people who know about China from different angles, in different professions, in different fields. So I think that's, you know, while actually in China, the need for Finns or people based in Finland is maybe getting less, to be honest. So let me take the Finnish businesses or companies as an example that are the biggest employer of Finns in China or people based in Finland in China. They are less and less run by Finns or people based from Finland. They are less and less run, you know, the operations are run by local people, by Chinese people. The amount of Finns in China is getting less and less, to be honest. Of course, this has been a long, you know, long way. It's just partly because the businesses have been, you know, there is a greater amount of talents in China, and they know the language, they, you know, they know the culture, they know everything there much better than the Finns who go there, and so there is less need for you know, expatriates, people sent from abroad to China. I don't mean that there aren't any, but that's the trend. So in a way, less need for this, for you maybe there to be sent there, but then there might be more need here actually in Finland than before. Regardless, my suggestion is that still you should try to go to China as soon as possible, you know, yourselves. And I encourage you to do so already during the start or your studies, if it's just possible. Well, hey, now we have this COVID-19 here. But if you, especially if you are in the beginning of your studies, and so anyway, so there is no this, we can work this out. Maybe next year is even much, much better. So I would suggest, even though this might not be that easy, in some ways, some people might have the feeling that, you know, there are so many problems there, there's pollution, whatever. But I would say it really makes a difference.
Thank you, Mikko, for sharing your journey with us. We learned a lot from you. And so I hope that this can inspire our students, even despite the pandemic. You might feel a bit, you know, gloomy, but there is hope.